Tub Talk is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. Email us at tubtalk@cageclub.me with questions, criticisms, riddles, trivia, dating advice, cryptozoology, ideas for future episodes, and more. Head over to cageclub.me to check out other shows and email us tubtalk@cageclub.me.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
So welcome to the first episode of Tub Talk, a new special. Well, maybe this might not be the first episode, I don't know.
It's either going to be about baseball or it's going to be about this thing.
Or both of them, I don't know.
Maybe that's what Tub Talk is.
It's just whatever we want to talk about.
Baseball and pop culture.
By keeping it
brought to you by the SEPTUB.
Produced by the Cage Club Podcast
Network. Correct.
So here we are.
Getting word from us. Sponsors, Senator.
We are here today to talk about... So Rolling Stone over the summer... Summer 2018, because I don't know when this is going to come out. Put out the... Just don't know.
This is going to be so hard to edit now that it's...
So in the summer of 2018, Rolling Stone put out their 100 greatest songs of the century so far. This is terrible already. We should preface this by saying that we are of a fantasy baseball league. It is the same fantasy baseball league that I reference on many of my podcasts. It is an all-consumptive part of my life, as it is for all of our lives. Like, it is the through line. It's the most of the people that I talk to. It's the thing I spend the most time about. It's the thing I stress over the most. I can say that. For sure. So we are joined here today by my co-commissioner, Matt Erdley. Hello, Matt.
You probably also get paid the most from it because you cleaned our clocks this year.
I won. Yes, I did. Also, who I beat in the playoffs this year, we have Tom Mansuranis. Hello, Tom.
Hi. Thank you for bringing up painful memories.
And then we have somebody who's not in the tub yet.
No, he's in.
Also, our league is called the Hot Sep Tub. I don't need to explain that. But it also goes to helping to explain Tub Talk as a show name.
Maybe take it from the top.
Yeah. Oh,
you're having to go back and re-explain a lot of things.
It's fine.
Here.
Just leave it at that.
Join us. The third person joining us today is Bob Fisher. He's not in our league yet, but he is here. By the time this comes out, he might be in officially.
He's
in. So hello, Bob.
This is the official unveiling that information for the record. Since we're recording this, take this down as new addendum to
the Bill of Seps.
Fucking Bill of Seps. This is just as much a documentation of a meeting.
So over the summer, Rolling Stone put out their 100 greatest songs of the century so far. So both Matt and Mance. The two of them put together their list of their 100 favorite songs of this century so far, and then they joined in, they added Bob in, and the three of them created their own list of their 100 greatest songs, both of this century, but also the 80s and 90s, which were today we're going through 1980 through 1999, their top 100 songs each.
Can I clarify something? I don't like 100 greatest.
100 favorite.
100 favorite.
In my mind, best is objective. Like, everybody should, in theory, agree that this is the best song. Like, if it is the best song, people think it's the best song.
Right.
I have no interest in best. It's always favorite.
Right.
That's why Spring Breakers,
right.
Shut Up Bob, is one of my favorite movies, because I know that it's not necessarily the best. I think it's a very good movie, but I also just love it as a favorite movie.
Many of the songs on my list are critically laughable, to be perfectly honest with you, and I wouldn't dare call them the best songs of anything, but they're songs that mean something to me.
There we go.
I stand behind mine, actually.
Me too, man.
Yours are the best?
That's why it was hard, is because you had to figure out how you were going to look at it, and you just say it's your list.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just my list. And then it's going to change tomorrow, maybe. But right now?
Oh, it's going to change today as you hear a song that somebody else made on the list.
I will be interested to hear that if we feel a need to adjust your list today.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we will. We're going to twist our lists up like a candy, like a taffy thing.
Like a taffy.
It's going to be like wrap them together real tight and squeeze them and pull them, and it becomes one.
Just
thing.
Like a taffy thing.
Just like a taffy.
Like a hard candy. Like a taffy that hardens then.
So now before we start, I have some stats that I pulled, but we also, do you want to introduce yourselves, or...
You kind of did introduce us.
I did. I introduced everybody individually. Do you want to say anything before we get going?
Yeah, what about our musical taste? This should probably serve to...
Or maybe it'll be self-explanatory as time goes on.
We're all looking at you, Bob.
So, musical taste-wise, I think that there's some things on the list that don't necessarily reflect my musical taste, because there's lots of things, genres like... hardcore and metal and things like that lend themselves to albums instead of singles.
Mm-hmm.
And so my list might trend toward more poppy things that aren't necessarily what my taste is overall.
Yeah, there's a big difference between putting together a 100 greatest albums list and 100 greatest songs list for exactly the reason you mentioned. On my end, we're all of similar ages. This is the time, the span, the 20-year span, or whatever you want to call it, where I think I speak for all of us when I say that our most formative musical memories kind of came in this 20-year span, or maybe not all of them, but many of them. A lot of these songs I still love to this day, but a lot are songs that I loved, you know, when they first came out, especially in the 90s, and I have very vivid memories of hearing them for the first time, or for, you know, special memories where those songs were prevalent. The Day I Lost My Virginity, for instance. I'm just kidding.
Why are you just kidding? Are you still a virgin?
So...
No, sorry, I didn't want to talk about sex or anything. I didn't make anyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, so these are songs where, as opposed to like the, you know, 2000 to 2018, you know, list that we made, where, you know, these songs kind of formulated my musical taste. They, you know, they helped push me in certain directions and opened
new
doors.
So you lost your virginity before 1999, is what you're saying?
Yes.
That is correct.
Fucking hey, I didn't.
That is correct. Well,
I did not.
I mean, that's like a lot here.
I think it's also maybe worth pointing out that we're all 35? Real 35?
I'm 34.
I'm
34.
I'm
30. 30? Holy shit, sweet.
Okay. But I'm also not ranking a list, so I have a completely different world view of this.
So the three of us are 34, 35-year-old middle class?
Yeah.
Middle class?
Straight white dudes.
Matt and I grew up in the same town, went to the same high school. Tom and I went to the same college.
Heteroflexible.
Yeah, why are we all... Gotta be straight.
Fair enough. I'm just saying that like musical taste might skew a certain way.
Sure.
Because of the demographic issues.
Of course. But we're all
just see that.
Yeah, but we're all that. I think
they
we're
can
all,
hear in our voices most likely too.
We have diverse tastes in music. Mm-hmm. It's not like we each have like fucking 100 Sublime songs on this list,
oh,
you know?
Alright, well
Bob, wait, Tom, reveal your list.
Guys.
I thought it was like gone without saying.
There's 99 different versions of Pool Shark.
What I was saying, Mance, before you got here, I was telling Matt and Bob that I think that Bob exists in a space, and it makes sense because he knows both of you. He exists in a space between the two of you, that you skew one way, Matt skews another, and Bob is sort of in between in terms of tastes. Based on the list.
Oh.
I don't know if that's necessarily true when we play it out, but I think from what I've seen, I think that's kind of mostly true.
Okay, well, I can't agree or disagree. I haven't seen their list.
There we go. So there's
this
a possible...
very political all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We'll make that determination when we listen to the music itself, and I think the artists can do a better job than I can of understanding and explaining my intentions.
So out of a possible 300 songs, there are 271 unique songs.
Holy shit.
Not a ton of overlap.
Wow.
There are three songs that all three of you ranked in your top 100.
Cool.
Interesting.
Nice. We know what one is.
Yeah.
There are seven songs that Matt and Mance share that Bob did not rank. There are seven songs that Matt and Bob share. And there are nine songs that Bob and Mance share.
Wow. Okay.
You guys are two better friends than me.
two songs better friends
than you are with both of me.
The weirdest thing is that both Mance and Bob have one song ranked in the same exact slot on their list that Matt did not rank. So this is definitively, we'll get to it when we get to it.
That gets like a double bonus connection.
Closer to one than 100, that number song, best of the 80s and the 90s. I also had pulled the artists that were featured the most times on the list and also the most unique songs on the list by an artist.
Did you have any genre restrictions when you were putting it together? Because like, I kind of felt like, I was like, I could put like a couple of reggae
or
songs
artists,
on here,
or artist
or like
restrictions.
Afro pop. Like, I don't necessarily. I see this as like a pop list.
I had no genre restriction. Whenever I was in doubt about something or questioned my methodology, I just said, compare these two songs. Like, which did I like more?
Yep.
If it made the list, it made the list. You know, I didn't go beyond that. But Joey's right in that I did. And I think you guys did not do this. I put a restriction on myself where I would only include up to three songs by a given artist to kind of keep the diversity, you know, to give the list some diversity, or else it would be overloaded with Soundgarden songs.
It worked out that way for me, too.
I don't even think I have an artist with three. I think the most I have on this list is two.
Oh, shit.
So,
wow. There was some chatter before you got here, though, that you have... six Chris Cornell songs or something.
I think I have...
That can't be true.
Four. I think I have two Soundgarden songs,
100%.
One Chris Cornell solo song, and one Temple of the Dog song.
Holy Christ.
Chris Cornell is a formative figure in my musical development.
You can't see it, but Mance is wearing flannel today, so...
Yeah, he
looks like he's...
So wait a
minute,
you put restrictions
90s.
On every other band, and yet somehow Chris Cornell...
Well, those are three separate artists.
Still putting him in that Chris Cornell bucket. You're fudging the numbers and sneak him in there more.
I did it with
Oh, yeah, I'm totally into Temple of the Dog for more than one song.
two, two songs. They got two great songs.
I never even heard anything other than
Hunger Strike.
Yeah, I had no idea there was any other song.
All right, well, we're going to get to my song eventually.
I kind of thought that they just got together for that song.
No, they put out a whole album.
Like a Live Aid type of situation. Nope.
Do I have this right, too, that Temple of the Dog was pre-Pearl Jam? Right. That was before Eddie Vedder was like a person.
Was that before Pearl Jam was Mookie Blaylock, or after Pearl Jam was Mookie Blaylock?
I think maybe he had just moved to Seattle from San Diego.
That's one of the very few music games that I actually know.
That is true. It was Mother Love Bone.
It's a Mother Love Bone tribute band.
Right.
Yeah. I know that is.
Full album. It's not great, but there are two or three songs that are really good.
It's not great, but there's two songs from it that are two of the best songs from 1980 to 1999. But it's not a great album.
They went 2 for 12.
It's as good as Prince.
Are we ready to count down?
Let's just get to it.
So Bob, let's
before
start.
I say any more
Bob
dumb
question.
Shit that I'm gonna regret.
Oh, we're gonna start with first. I'm calling you Mance.
Am I going first?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. My number 100 song is "Back in the Day" by Ahmad Lewis. It kind of speaks to what I was talking about earlier about how I have formative memories of listening, hearing certain songs. For me, like this one. I remember watching this music video on The Box. I don't know if you guys remember The Box music channel.
No.
Oh my god, it was where you could pay like 50 cents or 99 cents or whatever to request a video. It was like a jukebox for music videos. And I just really loved this song. It's got like a really breezy, casual feel that kind of fits in with that late 90s, mid to late 90s era hip-hop.
I have never heard this song before.
Me either.
Really?
I didn't think I had either until it gets to the chorus, and Girl Talk absolutely sampled it, and I think maybe on Night Ripper. Like, you'll know the chorus when it comes around to the hook, when it comes around.
It's a good song.
I've never heard of The Box, either.
I have
a terrible memory, but I've never heard of that.
I'm really surprised. I figured you two would be onto that. All right, I'll move on.
I watched much music after high school.
Number 99 is a song that you guys definitely both know. I don't think I need to talk about it too much. Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash?
This was 80?
82?
Wow.
I definitely fact-checked.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because it was Sandinista, right?
I don't know.
I think it's Combat Rock.
Yeah, is I think so. Rock? Because I have a song, yeah.
Oh, it is Combat Rock. Yeah. Okay. You have this song too, Matt?
No.
1982.
You know who this song's about?
Who?
Is the girl that sings the duet with Meatloaf on Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Really?
Yep.
Holy shit. All right. There you go.
Where's she? She's probably interesting as hell to talk to.
Yeah, probably. She's probably dead.
Okay.
That's mean.
Moving on to 98. Poison by Bell Biv DeVoe.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, Lisa's going to be very happy that this is on here. Just listen to this on Drive Up.
It's a fucking great song.
It is?
There's nothing more that I really need to say about it. It's just a really good pop song.
Yeah. There's probably a video on Instagram right now of Violet going like this in the background of this song.
Completely tonally different. 97? Is The Summer Ends by American Football. Late high school.
This sounds like shit. This is what I pictured with like Mance List.
There's
a lot of kind of stuff on Mance List.
Late high school is when I discovered emo, which is still, no shame, it's a big genre. It's one of my favorite genres.
That is one thing that your girlfriend is not particularly fond of.
No, she's not. she's not at all. She's not at all. But,
one of the best, like, Mance and Lindsay very clearly... I don't want to say enough. Like they're a great couple.
Great couple.
We were in the car waiting for Dylan to come out when we were going to go to Edinburgh. And then one of these songs came on, and she was just like, just audibly sighed. Like,
But that reminds me of like Real and Tina's relationship too. And like, they're a proven great couple.
She thinks that every...
Shout out, Real and Tina, Miss Walster.
The Walsters.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, she thinks that every... band that I like has a whiny singer, which is probably pretty accurate, but this song, you know, I love the horns. I just love the horns. Anyway.
Also, I mean, can we get the vocals or anything?
Like, no, this is a mostly,
I can also say that I've never heard this song either.
This is a mostly...
two for fucking, what, five of songs I've never even heard?
This is a mostly instrumental song, but I just love it. It's a pretty song to listen to.
I know about American Football because they played a concert above a live taping of Comedy Bang Bang, and most of the episode of Comedy Bang Bang, they were complaining about American Football testing their drum, like the kick pedal, for the entire like 90-minute show.
They're a band that inspired all of the emo bands that you might have heard of. Anyway.
One more song, number 96.
As you know and hate.
1995. I'm not going to be ashamed of my tastes anymore.
Yeah, but, yeah.
1995. Nice. Number 96. Fucking more human than human.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Definitely.
I definitely would, you know, when I was a kid, my parents would also, like, listen to the type, you know, we shared a lot of music, and, like, I would be in the car with my father. I remember, like, coming home from Devil's Games, listening to 92.3 K-Rock, and this song would come on with that woman sexually moaning in the beginning, and it was very awkward. But this song just kicks all sorts of ass.
We had talked about this. We had talked about White Zombie as like, fuck. And I thought that we had all said that we weren't going to include White Zombie.
I never agreed to that.
I'll tell you right now. This is the we've talked about how these songs are going to happen over the course of the night, where one of us is just going to be like,
"Oh, motherfucker!"
Like, I fucking forgot about that one.
Already regret
this is the first.
We're five songs in out of 200.
This
you're
is the
hear.
Closest one so far.
This song is so good.
Yeah, it probably should.
That slide guitar.
I don't remember thinking this one through in my process.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Cool.
All
right.
Definitely thought about Rob Zombie in the other list.
Dragula.
Okay, so this first one, I live in fear. That you're going to boo me.
I emailed
You've
Bob when you sent me the list. I emailed Bob. I was like, "Oh yes, number 100."
That
because
must mean it's Carly Rae Jepsen.
No, it is. It's a mission statement of sorts.
I will not. I'll just play it, and then you can be judgmental.
Okay.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Okay. Oh, great. Wait, who does this song?
Gary Portnoy.
You say that like I should know.
Well, I wrote a joke about this very thing, which is that Gary Portnoy's complaint is that nobody knows him about for anything but the cheer song. Portnoy's complaint was a popular novel in the 1960s. thank you. Moving on.
We'll eventually find this out. It's interesting because there's another sitcom song, intro song that would have been potentially a contender, not on my list. I thought about it briefly, but what's the Friends song? What's the Friends song?
You thought about that song?
I was like, oh, that song existed.
Well, you know what? Well, you know what the fuck is funny? Also on the drive up here, they're listening to Nightmare Before Christmas, Danny Elfman, and I was listening to like some of the songs that aren't like the hits on it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, you know, like Danny Elfman was an awesome composer, and I was like, oh shit, he did the Simpsons theme too.
Oh,
it never occurred to me to think to put that on this list. Kind of like what I was talking about, like genre blocking. I didn't consider like that.
More intro of a song.
But I've totally. Wait, you know that Simpsons intro is only good as a Simpsons intro. It's not like a this is a song.
Yeah,
you listen to this while you're washing your car.
I don't know that this would, without like the nostalgic attachment to Cheers, I don't know if it makes it.
But listen to it. Listen. Like it's
kind of like Paul Simon.
It's
like a little Paul Simon light.
Yeah.
It also gets weirdly transphobic at the end, where like that's not in the part of like it's not part of the Cheers theme, but he talks about how like, and your husband wants to be a girl.
It's
pretty weird.
Can we just appreciate this melodica solo? I've never heard this song long enough to get into the melodica solo.
Yeah, we are officially a
like
minute 50
sax.
In.
Is it?
I think so.
To a 2.5 minute song.
Okay. Well,
this is going to be the song we listen to for the longest over the course of
we
the
can
next
move on.
600
Now,
songs.
I won't spoil who the other person is, but this next song is our first crossover song. This next song
that
is on somebody else's
list.
List.
Okay.
Do it.
Yes! Fuck me.
So this wasn't one of our three songs.
No,
right.
I'll let you know when those come up.
Yeah,
fuck
so
me.
So
this
is
song
like a very like a good song to like a good walk-up song.
Yeah,
you know?
The best walk-up song.
Yeah, you get like a song
a
like,
literal walk-up song.
Well, people, yeah.
Do you really like want to like makes you really want to like punch someone in the head?
Wait, should we be saying what the song
is? Oh, Walks by Pantera. Sorry.
For people who don't know.
Yeah.
What's the demographic of your listeners, age-wise?
It's going to be our league, so 30s.
Us plus three other guys?
There's a little bit of trivia. Of all the songs that are shared across lists, this is the worst of them. Like, I don't want to say what number
that
it is, but it's very low on Mance's list. It's not on Matt's.
Yeah.
But of all the ones that are like the crossover, this is the worst of the crossovers.
It's not just in somebody's top 10.
No.
Can I tell a quick Pantera story? I saw Pantera open for Black Sabbath at Nassau Coliseum when I was like 15. And Black Sabbath sucked. Pantera kicked so much fucking ass. And my parents and I were in the upper tier of the Nassau Coliseum, which is basically on the verge of should be condemned anyway. And the upper tier was actually, like, swaying from the drum and bass, like, the vibration. Like, it was, it felt like it was going to collapse on us. Incredible show.
Paul, R.I.P.
Yeah. Dimebag, too.
Yeah, old Dimebag, talking about a sad celebrity death.
Yeah.
My very quick Pantera story is more of a Phil Anselmo story, or the fuck that guy's name is. I saw him at Ozfest.
Damn.
I got the day I got fired.
It was Damn,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
With Damn. And he said something to the effect of, like, look at that fucking guy with a book out at my concert. You see some motherfucker with a book? Knock that fucking shit out of his pussy hands. And I was just like, holy fuck, you're a fucking, what kind of idiot are you?
Can I tell you something? That I have that exact same memory, and I told that exact same story, like, 4 days ago to a group of people.
Were you talking about your list?
And, but while, no.
Wait, in a different instance?
Yeah. No. It was the same, I think we were at the same concert.
At the art center.
Yeah. But I was
he was on, like, the B stage in the parking lot.
Yeah. But I'm so happy to hear you tell the story, because when I was recounting the story, I was mostly saying, I almost think that I made this memory up. I cannot believe that Phil Anselmo was talking about beating up nerds at a concert.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So that makes me feel very, very warm. Let's go to the next one, which is Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai.
Yeah. I knew this was going to be on somebody's list.
Great, great song.
Figured yours.
Great song. This is a song
What number is this?
98. Number 98.
I didn't appreciate this song when it came out as much as I do now.
Sure, yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah. And he can dance, man.
Yeah, he can.
He can dance. And it's the first...
Yeah.
The first classic music video of the list?
Of the list? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
No, not the first classic music video ever.
That's
nuts.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is a...
Yes?
Yeah. This is a wonderful dance song, and, I don't think Jamiroquai ever really lived up to this.
Is he just one dude?
No.
It was a band.
It's a band.
No, the dude is J.K.
Yeah.
Simmons?
J-A-Y.
J-A-Y-K-A-Y.
Mostly, J.K. Downing?
Mostly, I think, is like on that British show Top Gear a lot, I think.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong about that. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
First R.E.M. of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will be back. In case anyone's wondering, they will be back.
They fucking will be back.
So this is, not
everybody
maybe
hurts.
Even in my top 10 R.E.M. songs,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. Matt and I had a fairly long conversation about R.E.M. where we made a list, and I came around on this song because, like, during an era filled with, like, really biting irony and stuff like that, it's like it just stares you in the face and is so sincere that, like, it's just hard to look away from, and it's it can be tough to listen to
mm-hmm.
at times. So there are R.E.M. songs that I like better than this that are not on this list, but I think it does things that are more interesting as far as sincerity is concerned.
It's also just an iconic song.
It is.
I can't live without you.
Yeah.
It's the same, just naked.
It's type sauce. But it's also the type of thing that, like, is so sincere that it has mostly been a punchline for the last 20 years.
Yep.
Right? Like, people mostly just make fun of it.
But it's not annoying in that same, like, you lost that love and
Right.
Like, that song, like, is annoying. But this is just, like, a nice...
Yeah.
It's like a standard, almost.
Right. Yeah. So I'm glad you guys have known the last four songs that I've done. I think this next one might be a little more unfamiliar to
you. Your last in this little batch, a band that I've never heard. Is it a person or a band?
A person. Okay. It's Bonnie Prince Billy.
Oh, yeah.
A song called No More Workhorse Blues.
What album is this on?
Sings Greatest Hits? That's what I have for
That would be a great album name for someone.
No, actually don't know, because it's not on I See a Darkness.
Okay.
Greatest Palace Music.
Greatest Palace Music.
Okay.
Yeah. Bonnie Prince Billy Sings Greatest Palace Music.
Okay.
Wait, that was not this era, though, right? Because that was on our other list, wasn't it?
What? I See a Darkness?
Yeah.
I think that you had the Johnny Cash cover of it, though, is what you had.
And they're both from then? No.
And it's a little before. But, yeah, Bonnie Prince Billy, trivia includes Harmony Korine directed the music video for this.
Oh,
nice.
Shout out Spring Breakers.
Yeah, Spring Breakers. Second shout out of the podcast. Keep it going. Okay, I think that closes. pisses me off for these five. Let's go on to Matt.
All right, Matt, your number 100 song.
Yeah, so
it's like a statement song.
No. Because then, like I was saying, like it's the only song that I'm not fully committed to. But then, because if you're trying to make a mission statement with your first song and give an example, like I feel like this is a bad example for the rest of the list. But I kind of was like, all right, I tried to see if the Foo Fighters were in on the list. Like mm-hmm. They seemed to be more like a band that would have a hold on, wait, just play it.
Great.
So I thought they might have fit on the 2000 to 2018, and I was like, I guess no, not really.
Yeah.
And then like by that token, then they definitely wouldn't crack this list. But like, it was a big deal that it was the new Dave Grohl band mm-hmm. after fucking Cobain killed. Like after he killed himself, it was like, this fucking guy's in a new band? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is he? The drummer. Albeit, he's probably my favorite drummer from my lifetime ever. But, like, you know, and I never got really into the Foo Fighters ever.
I think you're forgetting about a little man named Phil Collins.
No, he's in there later. But, like, I never really got into... I was never a Foo Fighters guy, and I always liked Big Me better on this album. But, like, in researching this, and I heard this song again, and I think I was even talking to Steve Montenegro about, like, we talk a lot about how Dave Grohl is like just such a fucking dork now. He's just such like a just like that stupid show he had for Showtime where like
Sonic
and like
Highways.
They put this fucking lyrics in print on it to treat all that whole shit was so off-putting. Going back and be like, yeah, but you know what? I'll Stick Around still rules. And this song's called I'll Stick Around. That part doesn't happen until 3 minutes into the song. Yeah. It happens once and then it ends.
Yep.
Like so like the way you remember this song too is different because like there's a lot of parts to it and you're like, oh yeah, those are all like fucking solid riffs. And this was like the first post Nirvana Dave Grohl song. And that shit's fucking awesome. That's good screaming. And then he doesn't even go into the other part, but like we don't even listen to the whole song, but like can we kick forward to the part where just to the I'll Stick Around? Like it's Of all the songs that...
There you go.
Of all the songs that we put on here, like, this is the one that I revisited and like, was the most, like, oh, fuck, yeah! Like, I like this song way more right now than I did at any point when it first came out, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like,
also, I Don't Know You Anything is, like, an interesting statement to make for someone coming out of Nirvana.
Yeah. No, but, like, that's good lyrics.
I think this song was aimed at Courtney, if I remember correctly.
I'll Stick Around, yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I never even thought of it that. Like, I never even thought it through because I never liked the song that much.
But he's got a few songs that are aimed at Courtney.
Good.
I will go on record as saying, and I can expand on my Foo Fighters thoughts later, I think their first three albums are all great.
I'd be interested to see how much Foo Fighters remains on this list because, like, I'm one and done. I was in and out on the Foo Fighters.
I literally only like the song Monkey Wrench, and that's it.
Wow.
And I only like the screaming part of it.
That song's good. You like Big Me, though?
I probably did. I'm being.
You can just keep playing since the fucking song is over anyway. So then this is Jesus Lizard, then comes Dudley. Because this, like, I didn't get into until kind of later, like, maybe even after college or late college. And it was just one of those things that was like a style of making rock and roll music that I was just like, oh, fuck, that's a way to fucking kick ass with guitars and drums and fucking lyrics and screaming that like I'd never heard before, and it was just like very, I enjoyed it very much. I like it very much. just like all fucking treble, just fucking shredding your brain
I'm
open.
I'm pretty unfamiliar with this.
Yeah, me too.
Well, the reason I got into it is because we're getting messed up and playing music in Steve's basement with Charlie. Charlie was singing, and he sings like he does lyrics the way that this guy does, and that's when I heard of them for the first time. I was like, yo, that sounded like Jesus. And I was like, oh, and it's fucking true. Just like wait till they listen to a part real quick. You can just imagine Charlie doing it.
Can we skip forward?
It's happening in a second. Make it louder though. Make it real loud.
The visual component is lost in the podcast.
Yeah, Matt is thrashing right now. Air drumming.
Just sloppy.
Yeah, I can hear Charlie saying this.
Alright, you gotta like rein me in because I'll fucking do this with every song on my list. Alright, let's go to the next one. 98. This is another band that I got into big time in college, coming off of like worshipping Pavement in high school so much, and like Specifically, there's a lyric in this one.
Who is this?
This is Silver Jews, Trains Across the Sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night I was listening to Silver Jews and I was like, fuck. I fucked up.
Like, because I really like, I got, when I, like, what got me about Pavement in high school, like, I remember the first Pavement song I heard, and we'll get into that. But, like, it was just one of those things, it was summer, and, like, we were outside Dee's house, and just, like, hanging out on someone's car for a while. Just, like, you know, sitting on someone's car in the summer outside their parents' house. And I first heard Us, and I was like, oh, like, that, wow, like, yeah, that's it. That's the vibe for me. That just relaxed, sloppy, but, like, poetic and just like all that shit. So this was like kind of the later, more bitter evolution of that.
David Berman, right?
Is
that
it? Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer David Berman to Steve Malkmus. That's a controversial statement, I guess.
Well, I have a high esteem for Scott as well. He's got a song later on, but there's a line in this that I like specifically where he just goes, 27 years I drank 50,000 beers and they just wash against me like the sea into the pier. I was just like, oh, like, just, that line always stuck with me, and I always think about, like, oh, fuck, I wonder how close am I to 50,000 beers? Like, that's a lot of beers, but it's probably attainable if you drink a lot of beer. That number would sneak up on you.
Yeah, well, keep
going. I hope not to find out, or maybe so. I haven't done the math.
It's a lot of beer.
Like, how many a day is that? Not to say in 27 years, but how, like...
If you drink two beers a day, that's, like, just say 700 a year. So say you did 50,000. So say you did three a day is 1,000 a year. That's 50 years at three a day.
50 years at three a day. So or 25 years at six a day.
Are you kidding me?
25 years at six a day.
More shits than that.
Or 12 and a half years at 12 beers a day. Or even 24 beers in a day. Like, you could drink... You know,
so
like,
if you just
this is the beer math
Modelo.
Like you picture like Clint Eastwood like sitting on his porch crushing 12 Pabst Blue Ribbons,
looking at his Gran Torino.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's Gran Torino.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm Clint picturing. You meant the scene of Gran Torino, right? Some fucking guy doing that. Anyway, sorry. This was supposed to be my number 100 song. I thought this would have been a very good statement song for number 100.
Popular.
When we first had this list. I was like, whatever it is, popular is going to be my number 100.
And I thought Virtual Insanity was going to be my number 100.
That's why I knew. Yeah. It was like, that's right. And like, it's interesting that it wasn't 100 on yours? It wasn't. No. It's interesting because like you go back and you're like, I like this song so much more than these other ones, but I want them on the list too. Like, it can't be 100. But like... Functionally, this is my statement song for like opening salvo of my list. And that, is that my last one? No,
yeah,
next
one more.
Okay, next one. This is just R.E.M.
It's just R.E.M. It's not Central.
They'll be back. Not much more needs to be said about this, but
they'll be back.
That riff, come on.
Off Reckoning.
What song is this?
South Central.
South Central. This is. I'm sorry. It's like I don't even. I almost took this song off of it this morning only because it's like. To put something else on it because I have plenty more REM to go, but can't fucking deny it.
REM they're one of those bands that are just so consistent. Like, I was talking to a coworker about Elvis Costello yesterday, and I was like, you know, I'm a big Elvis Costello fan. I feel like he's got, you know, a few great
problems.
I think he's very consistent. I think it's the opposite. I think he's got like 10 great songs, let's say, classic songs, and then the rest are all like consistently good. I feel like that's R.E.M. too.
I think Matt and I had a long conversation.
That's a compliment. I don't mean that as an insult.
Matt and I had a long conversation about how R.E.M. was the greatest American rock and roll band. And the only other band even in that conversation was the Beach Boys.
And like you could maybe say Nirvana even at this point.
Well, I mean, I think other people. I think other people would make the argument for the Eagles, for Aerosmith, for.
I think Tom Petty Heartbreakers is a legitimate argument though.
Yeah,
I think that's a legitimate argument. I'd still probably say it's R.E.M., but this is a good amount. I'm spoil it, but go ahead, Tom.
Here we go. Number 95 from Ants.
So another alt rock radio one hit wonder, also Pantera affiliated. Down. You remember this band, Stone the Crow?
A whole fucking anecdote about how much of an idiot fucking Phil Anselmo is.
This song is a down song. This is a down song.
Oh my god! No wonder we're on opposite ends of the spectrum of this shit.
This is
fucking Phil Anselmo band.
This is a good ass. Listen to the
guitar. Does that mean there's a lot more Pantera projects?
No, no. This is the end of Pantera on my list. But listen to the guitar interplay. It's like
so. Down is better than Pantera.
I like this song better than Walk. This is like a bluesy. It's got a very bluesy feel. The way the guitars interplay with each other. It's got a killer chorus. It's just, I just think it's a good song.
Our producer left us. I think he's taking shit.
He's throwing up.
So.
And there's a scream on.
So this is my number, what is this, Joey? 94.
94? Oh, wait, no. There's, hold on.
Wait. That's a disaster. What just happened?
I'm so sorry.
When you take a shit in the boards.
94 is Manson. It's the first song on our list that's not on Spotify.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's a
Tool
song,
no.
Right?
No, this is United.
Okay. All right, we skipped. All right, yeah.
I'm
going to
bring it up now. If you want to start talking about it.
It's Nothing But a G Thang by Dr. Dre.
Oh.
That's
on Spotify?
No, it's on Apple Music.
Oh,
because
of Dre. Okay,
yeah.
It
was transitionary song. Thank you, Joey. You know, it introduced
sounds like you're gonna rap over it.
Gang. You think I could not rap over this song?
I don't think I've ever seen you laugh as hard.
It took less than 40 minutes. We did a giggle break right from Bob.
It's very stupid what I was thinking. Just continue.
No, now you have to describe it.
I was imagining if Dr. Dre, every time before he started to rap, said thank you to the producer.
Thank you, Joey.
That's what that HBO series was about.
Was
about him thanking his producers.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
No, I mean this was the introduction to West Coast gangster rap to America, to
a young Tom Manzarenas.
To popular America and to a young Tom Manzarenas. Yeah, you know, nothing more needs to be said. It's another great song.
93.
This is number 93.
We just said years too, because the interesting thing about this is like, how much of our lists come from the 80s or the 90s?
Yeah.
We're doing fucking
only,
such a weird. It's such
only
a weird
you did,
thing.
Only you did years, and I don't have years on my list on the thing here. So.
I think this is so. This is Who Stole the Soul by Public Enemy. I think this was 88. It's off of Fear of a Black Planet. When I was going through songs, I could have put. This is part of why
this
I had an artist 90. Okay, I could have had an artist restriction. I needed one because I could have put 20 Public Enemy songs between Fear of a Black Planet and It Takes a Nation of Millions. The song just goes so hard. Bomb Squad are incredible producers. I just like the feel of the song. The energy is incredible.
This is also the part of Manson's playlist that it starts transitioning into what sounds like a Tony Hawk soundtrack. it's the Public Enemy.
I was a skater kid. What do you want? I wore a lot of JNCO.
Are these snacks for us?
Yeah.
Okay. Open them away from the microphone.
Joey's got white cheddar.
The next song is from 1994.
Oh yeah. this is not a Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Who is this?
Desiree.
Desiree.
Desiree. You gotta be bold. You gotta be. Skip to the chorus. Everybody knows the chorus.
Yeah.
It's just a really good feel good song.
It's
the type of song that when it came out, I didn't give a shit about it because I was an alt-rock kid, and now I listen to it and I'm like, fuck, that was a really good song. And also kind of goes, you know, I feel like it speaks to what you were talking about with Everybody Hurts, where I feel like it's just as prescient now as it was back when it was released, more so, you know? I love the message it gives now.
You still gotta be.
Yeah, you gotta be strong. You gotta be bolder, whatever she says.
Man, got one more song from 1996.
Yeah. Rage Against the Machine, Vietnam. So,
turn on the radio.
The first two Rage albums are great. The third one, a little bit less so. But I was down at the Jersey Shore with my parents one year when I was a kid. I think it was probably 95, 96. And I had a t-shirt with the Evil Empire logo on the front. And on the back, it said, Fear is Your Only God, which is one of the songs one of the lyrics on the song. I remember a mother of another family told my parents she didn't appreciate the message on the back of my shirt, and my dad told her to go fuck herself.
Yeah, Mr. Mitch, way to go.
This song just,
you don't run a movie company and deal with shit.
Fuck no. Yo, do any of the songs on your list have any bearing in the tattoos you've got?
No.
Mance, what you got? I mean, for the listening audience, you're sleeved up on both arms.
While you think about that, I do want to point out that I have a table full of snacks, and Matt asked if the snacks were for us. Like, if they were out here and they weren't for you, that would be like the meanest thing I have ever done.
You said you hosted an 11-party
this is
tabletop event the other day. As far as I know, You have like an event in this house every night of the week.
I wish.
Broadcasting. I have no idea.
I wish. That's your 95 to 91 for Mance.
Okay. Bob's I'm gonna just next. Say, speaking of which, doing this in here, maybe only from this end, but like, there's just walls full of like, five. Like it looks like you're in like a studio, right?
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm in like a radio studio, and these are all like promo CDs and shit.
Joey's house is like a museum to popular culture.
Yeah, it really is. Sounds it's impeccably clean, by the way.
Yeah. Sounds Mance is 95 to 91. Now 95 for Bob from 1997. Not if you were the last junkie on Earth.
By the Dandy Warhols.
Okay. I've heard of this band. I know nothing about them.
You never heard this song? This is a pretty big hit when it was like an alt-rock hit. Neither of you know this one?
Maybe the chorus.
Yeah, hold on. Because I remember there was one period where I was like, I think they had a bunch of good songs. And I,
yeah.
But I don't...
They're pretty good, man. They like fall into like a hipster trap where I think they're like maybe a little trying to be a little too cool. Songs about being vegan and shit like that.
It's not cool.
So yeah, but this was like their one hit. If they are a one hit wonder, I think this is their one hit. They were in that documentary.
Oh yeah. Heroin is so pouty. I know their song. Yeah.
But they had another song that was.
Yeah, they had Bohemian Like You. And they also had the theme song. They had the theme song for the television show Veronica Mars.
That's why I know them.
Yeah. So a long time ago, we used to be friends. That song.
But this has like the
Sugar
Matthew Sweet Oasis kind of Fountains of Wayne sound. Like I like that sound of this era. Like
Oasis will be
Later. But like not like still kind of like ballsy.
Okay, right. Ballsy. That's the Dandy Warhols.
1985.
1985, a little band called The Replacements, a song called Here Comes a Regular.
Being played in an empty bar right now, two guys sitting in it.
Incredibly sad.
Oh, God.
Just a song about inertia, like just a song about being like a person who is, you know, doesn't have any influence on their own motion.
Is this on Tim? What album is this on?
I think it's on Tim, yeah.
Yeah,
it's on Tim.
Next one is
Before I want to say here, I don't know if you know this next song is in not one, not two, but three Nicolas Cage movies.
Even our list.
I'll make a bigger deal about that, but this song was in three different Nicolas Cage movies.
It's also the sexiest song. It's the wettest song.
It's Matchstick Men, The Family Man, and Wild at Heart.
Three sexy movies.
Oh, this song is fucking sexy.
This was a good contender. I almost put this on my list.
This might should have been on my list too.
Yeah,
this is a great song.
It is sexy.
It's a good song. Does this guy have any other songs? I know he was in Twin Peaks, and there was the Chris Isaac Show.
This is a very Twin Peaks song.
But too. I don't remember. I don't know if he had any other songs that were big.
Ooh, you're right.
This song should have been on my list. Another iconic music video.
Yeah, the rolling around the beach black and white video.
Yeah.
And, need I remind you, three Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah.
Okay, the next
song is from 94.
Suckers Need Bodyguards by Gangstar. Not the, I guess Mass Appeal is their big hit, but, I don't know. I like this song better. I think this is the first rap song on my list. Okay, yeah, I don't have that much to say about that.
96, next song. 1996, number 91.
A band where every song sounds the same, so you just have to pick one.
Which one is this?
Beer.
This is Beer by Real Big Fish.
Yeah, right.
A band that I like, don't love. They were a band that I listened to in high school, which is the only time in my life that I listened to ska music. That's it. I mean, was Real Big Fish in like our circle relatively...
very popular. Very popular.
Right? Yeah.
Plus, they were in basketball.
That's right.
That was pretty cool.
That's right, yeah.
I think...
they're in a lot of weird, like 90s comedies, too, because it was just fucking... Everything was a ska...
Right,
band all of a sudden.
I think when we talked about earlier who we are demographically and if that led to any leanings, I think we all kind of fell into that, like, pop-punk ska... You know, I think we all kind of lived through that.
Penny Scow song is going to get on my list if it would have been Catch 22.
Do we do I have one more song, right?
No, that's it. That was 91. Okay.
So we'll continue with that pop punk thing.
Okay.
Thematically next.
That's a nice little tease.
Yeah. Woo! So here we go. You're 95. 1982.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah, right. Combat Rock.
Yeah.
I thought I took the next song off.
Well, just talk about Rock the Casbah by The Clash.
Nothing to be said other than what Mance already said. Same deal. It was like, oh, we're The Clash? Like, they have songs that I love from the 80s. Like, oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, right.
And like, this kind of could fall into that trap of songs you've heard a billion fucking times. You're just sick of it. But, no. It's just great. Like,
yeah.
Rock, talking about, yeah, it's just great.
It's cool music video.
It's the type of song that we heard all the time growing up because it was just, just pervasive and I grew to appreciate it later in life, like when I could actually figure, think about it analytically.
You had Should I Stay or Should I Go, right? To me, that song was a little more like, if I heard the beginning of it, I'd be like, all right, I would like change it off the radio, probably. Like, I could probably find something better.
Yeah.
Like this one, I would reach for it and I'd be like, you know what, this is fine, I can drive a song.
This is the difference between, I might be displaying my Clash ignorance here. This is the difference between Mick Jones and Joe Strummer, right? This is a Joe Strummer song, and that's a Mick Jones song, right?
Definitely a Joe Strummer song. Yeah. I don't know enough about who wrote
This one's like political and weird, and has that Joe Strummer screechy voice. Yeah. And then the Mick Jones stuff, like Should I Say or Should I Go or Train in Vain, like it's much more pop centric and digestible.
The next song basically ripped off of Mance's list, not on Mance's list, but. That's Chris
I thought I took this song off only because, like, I tried not to put any, like, token songs on my list. Because that would be, like, I felt like I was making, like, a best of list. Like, oh, I'd like to send a tape to the aliens that's, like, if you come to us in the timeline you're in is the 90s, here's the best songs you might like. But, also, like, I remember the first time I heard this song. I remember the first time I saw the video. It was at my first ever best friend's house in his bedroom on his little TV with MTV playing. And, like, just the smile, like, when the song, and then, like, when they did, like, the reverse image of the sun. Like, I was just like, it was the first song in my life that I remember being like, I gotta get the fuck home and somehow figure out how I can listen to that song again. And then, like, I loved Soundgarden so much in high school.
Man,
so
fucking much. 1994 was a very different era.
Like, this album.
How do I hear
amazing.
That song again?
Like, this album's fucking amazing.
Yep.
And it still is. I still think it has an argument to be made as the best, like, album of the grunge period. Whatever you want to call it.
I want to talk about that. Because I sent this to you guys in a group text message, and nobody responded.
It's like the steroid era in baseball.
how do you define the grunge era?
Just the timeline.
Yeah.
When grunge was the most popular. Like
alternative rock from
Monster by R.E.M. is like a grunge record.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
So is Siamese Dreams a grunge record?
Oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
And that's 100%. Actually, that might be the best one.
I want to say, though, not to step on anyone's toes, I don't think this album is top five of the era.
Wow.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's
why we have these round tables. Yeah, and you're sitting next to Chris Cornell reincarnated.
This is one of my 10 favorite albums of all time.
I think that's fair. Yeah, totally. I'm not...
Like, I prefer listening... I prefer, like Bad Motorfinger and, like, Heavy Thale riffs. Like, this is just, like, a Beatles-y weird... Yeah. Like, it's not even by any stretch my favorite Soundgarden song. But,
not
like,
mine either.
It's the one I put on here, and it's the only one that I really feel uncomfortable about.
I don't think that you should feel uncomfortable about it, because I think your description of hearing it as a kid and going on, like, that way is heavy.
Yeah,
and
but it's like, important. In how I built my list, I didn't really use that as criteria for anything other than this song, so it feels kind of cheap to me. But anyway, you can put the next one on. Oh,
1982.
This is my man. This is
Joe Jackson.
When fucking whoever the fuck said... The
white guy.
On a thread, they were just like, Joe Jackson died. I was like, oh, man, like, that's a bummer. It turns out it was Michael Jackson's dad. Like, anyone gives a shit about Michael Jackson's dad dying? And how many people...
We want Michael Jackson's dad.
Exactly. It was like, good, he's dead. Fuck him. Like, at least Joe Jackson, the fucking musician, is the fucking this guy, is still alive. Not that he's doing any great musical shakes now, but, like, he's great. I would be totally bummed if he died. I'll be totally bummed when he dies. And that's me making a statement that I will outlive Joe Jackson. God willing.
This next song from the same year, also from 1982.
Yeah, so, like, yeah.
What is this?
This is Wall of Voodoo, Mexican Radio. Like,
that's from 1982?
Yeah, man.
That's that old? I thought that was from, like, 1994.
Part of the reason this is on here is the movie Box of Moonlight. Also, shout out Charlie. That's his favorite movie. And it's fucking... Have you ever seen that with Sam Rockwell and John Turturro? Dude, it's fucking awesome. John Turturro plays this, like, uptight, like, project supervisor. They're building some, like, nondescript gray office building in, like, the Adirondacks somewhere. And, like, all the builders, like, think he's just a douchebag. He's very uptight. And he somehow crosses paths with Sam Rockwell, who plays a local. And they go on this, like, not unhomoerotic, like, journey together, like... through the fields of corn and, like, diving into the river and shit.
Charlie's favorite movie, you say?
Yes. and the song, like, is featured and referenced in the movie in a, like, throwaway scene. It's great. And it's also a fucking awesome song.
Yeah, it is good. It's a good song.
The next song, pushing the limits of this list, 1999, Tender by Blur.
Oh, I have 98.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I know we're going to have some Blur crossover.
Yeah.
And the Blur songs that are your favorite aren't my favorite, but I love them.
I mean, same with this. This is one of my favorite Blur
songs. I feel like there's like a lot of paths. I feel like there's a lot of paths to being a fan of Blur. And this is my favorite one of them. Not my favorite one of them, actually. This is more Blur to come, but
if you get in a car and you turn this up really loudly and drive really fast, like, that's a good criteria for, like, a song that makes the list. If you get in a car and drive with it really loud.
Yeah. And in a different way, it kind of feels like how blindly emotional, like, Everybody Hurts is. Mm-hmm. Like, you just do this big, like, anthem sing-along of just, like, the same thing over and over again. It's a little less, like, a little cheaper the way they do it, because it kind of feels like polyphonic spree, just like, a little bit, but, like, I still think it's a great song, and I like, Blur was one of my number one bands all throughout high school. I just fucking listened to Blur all the goddamn time.
Something that gets me about this song is, this is the last song before, not the last song, this is the last album before Graham Coxon left the band, and I'm particularly affected by the, like, interplay between Graham singing and Damon singing, because I don't know how often they do that. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
Sorry I missed that fucking Coxon show, man. It sounded like a nice time.
There's, like, less than 100 people there.
It's awesome. It's good.
Bad for him, because he probably could have used the money. But no, he's probably a millionaire. If you were in Blur, you have millions of dollars.
He's getting song number two royalties.
And like, you know, maybe he probably feels more comfortable.
Yeah.
Right, because he was very nervous.
Yeah,
he was
so very, like, nervous. It probably was great.
Yeah.
So, that's what I mean. It sounded like a great, fucking great time.
Yeah.
That time for the next batch of five. Mance's number 90.
Oh, okay.
From 1981.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably the poppiest, the most ubiquitous song on my list. When I was doing my research, this song has a very predatory message.
Who sings this?
Naked Eyes.
Human League.
Oh, Naked Eyes.
Don't You Want Me by the Human League.
Naked Eyes comes later. Naked Eyes comes later. Alright, so I don't know a whole lot about the Human League.
Hey, who does, man?
But this is a good song.
Do you need beer?
Yes, I do, actually. So I could forget more of the artists on this list. But yeah, no, this song is actually, like, creepy. It's very unsettling when you listen to the lyrics.
You know, I got one of those.
Talking about, like, you know, this. He's talking to this waitress who he meets, or he sees somewhere. He's talking about how they'll both be sorry if she says no to him. And there's, like, a very... what's that? The scene from Always Sunny, where Dennis is talking about the boat.
The implication.
The implication. Yeah, sure. There's the implication there. Like, hey, if you don't requite this love or this lust, you know, something bad's gonna happen to you. But you know, you go to a fucking karaoke place, or you go to any sort of, like, lounge or club where they play this song, and everybody sings the chorus, and good pop song.
Next song, another very big one-hit wonder.
Naked.
I think maybe.
Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. I got nothing to say about this song.
I have something to say about this song.
Really?
1997.
So Dylan woke me up every single morning than when I lived with him.
Oh, Dylan's another guy in our baseball league. He's not here today, but Dylan's kind of the thread that ties this entire table together in a way.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, no, he is. He is, 100%. Every single morning in the dorms, Dylan woke me up by playing this song at my face.
And then would you watch Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Yeah, and then we would watch... this gives you a clue to how late in the day I was waking up. From 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., we would watch Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place together.
So he's punishing you for sleeping so late?
Yeah, well, he was sleeping late, too. Look, we were all had chronic depression. We all also had chronic diarrhea.
That was just you.
It was not a good time to be alive. Save tonight, fight the break of dawn. Next song, please.
Yeah.
I hate that song.
Yeah.
Another
one
that went. This was on my list for a long time, and then I eventually bumped it.
This is a weird, weird song, and it speaks to how amazing the 90s were that this became a hit inexplicably. Like, it's such a bizarre song.
Everybody loves this song.
It should not have been popular at all, but it's an incredible song.
Sex and Candy by Marcy Playground.
Yeah, thank you, Joey.
I always thought it was Marcy.
Thank you, producer.
Possessive, but it's just Marcy Playground.
Do you ever listen to this whole album?
No.
Because there's a song in it called A Cloak of Elven Kind that's like about, it's like about like elves and it's pretty weird.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But that was almost on my list.
Okay.
Cloak of Elven Kind was, or this was?
Not really. I don't think it ever really had a chance.
The next song was our first repeat.
Like, everybody likes this song, right?
Okay, yeah.
Walk by Pantera.
We could skip this. We already talked about it.
You already played this one?
No, that was on Bob.
Oh, you had...
This is our first repeat.
98.
This is the worst song that any of you agree upon. 86.
Yeah.
Not really. So, here's my one story about Motorhead. I went to a Motorhead concert, and all of their songs, especially live, sound like Ace of Spades. This is the best one, but they all sound the same.
And none of them are as good as It's Gonna Be a Long Night, which is...
Agreed.
The
Demon for Life.
I love the bass line. I mean... It's to me, this is another iconic rock song. If you are into rock history at all, you know this song, which is great.
How does he shave with that thing on his face?
Well, he's dead now. He doesn't shave at all.
Lemmy's dead?
R.I.P. Lemmy.
Yeah.
He died like 5 years ago. Yeah.
Sucked.
So he doesn't have to worry about shaving anymore.
No. I think it was 3 years ago.
I thought your hair
still
grew when you were in the coffin.
It does for a little bit, but...
Yeah. Let's go shave Lemmy.
Hashtag shave Lemmy.
All right, Bob, you're number 90.
Number
90.
Nice.
So we're back to pop.
Nope.
Punk.
Wrong one. Hold on.
All right, this is part two of your.
Oh yeah,
Goldfinger here in my bedroom.
This almost made my list.
From 95.
God damn, this all reminds me of fucking Summertime.
Yes, it does.
Andy Richter.
Summertime, Wall Township, New Jersey.
You're not fucking kidding. Holy moly.
Here in my bedroom by Goldfinger. I don't have terribly much.
Here
to say
in
about
your
this song.
Bedroom.
Here in your bedroom.
Here in your bedroom, sorry.
No.
My mistake, I wrote it down wrong on my thing. Here in your bedroom. I don't know how often I've listened to this song in the last 20 years, but it holds a very specific nostalgic...
Almost like a chemical reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's music. It does.
Because, were you ever into Goldfinger specifically?
They had one other song, right, that was called Superman, I think.
I have no idea. I only ever remember hearing this, like, on the radio and, like, in people's cars.
That's the only reason I know that, because Superman was, like I said before, my massive list. That was in a Tony Hawk game. And, like, Superman's a great song.
Yeah.
And this part of the song is way as not as good as the other part,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a bummer that this part kicks in.
Yeah, so that's, that might be the end of pop punk on my list, but I feel good about that. Okay, so that sounds like Where Is My Mind by Pixies, but it's not.
89, Tyler by the Toadies.
Tyler by the Toadies.
94.
A band who had, you know, a huge hit with Possum Kingdom, and this is not that song. This is a different, better song from that album. Although, if you listen to the lyrics, it is pretty rapey. So, you know, proceed with caution, I guess.
You know, I knew, like, sharing our list together would reveal exactly that sort of thing. It's like, yeah, look. Possum Kingdom's, you know, everyone knows that song, it's great, but, like, there is a better song, but I think that's exactly what I was hoping to, like, get about those, like, one-hit one-hit wonders.
This whole album, Rubberneck, is awesome. It's, like, angry Texas music, and it's just,
so far, that's the album I'm gonna check out after we do this.
Yeah, go check it out, it's awesome.
I also shout out WRAT.
95.9.
Responsible for how, like, how, like, what percentage of the lists that
Hooks
were
Army.
Like the songs that we're about to talk about, like, what percentage of them did we hear for the first time on the Rat?
Or hear
the most on the Rat?
Tom never did this.
This is a YouTube thing. We had 923 K Rock.
We had K Rock.
We had that too. We also had the Belmar one. Local.
Yeah. Is this next song our first cover?
It's a cover song. It is from an album called Loose Shoes and Tight Pussy by Alex Chilton, the singer from Big Star.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the Oogum Boogum song.
From 99.
Who does the original? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who does the original. It's like a soul song from the 70s.
It's done by Brenton Wood from 1967.
Okay. So this song is, I think, like a pop masterpiece. I don't think there's much else to say about it. I don't have like an emotional connection to it, but it makes me want to dance and shit.
What was your philosophy putting this list together when it came to covers? Because with the exception of one, I have one cover. I'm pretty sure one cover on my list, maybe two, but I restricted.
No covers.
I cut a lot of covers out because they were covers.
I don't think it really came up except for with this song. I don't know. I know in another list I had Elf Power covering a song. So I guess like maybe just if I really like that song. I don't know that it's there's not like a formula or anything. That's the Oogum Boogum song by Alex Chilton from Big Star.
Next song from 1992 by Ministry.
Jesus Built by Hot Rod. Mm-hmm. The singer of this song is, however, I think it's the guy from the Butthole Surfers.
Is this our first spoken word intro on one of these songs?
Yeah. Outside of the woman moaning on More Human Than Human.
That's right, yeah.
It's a moaning intro.
You get a moaning bridge in Rocket Queen. If anyone put Rocket Queen on their list.
No.
I don't know if they did.
No.
I didn't. So this is Ministry with I forget his name, but I think it's the dude from the Butthole Surfers singing.
This is a Beavis and Butthead song to me. The first time I heard this song was watching Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, this song rules.
Yeah, Gabby Haynes.
Is that?
Yeah, Gabby Haynes. Gabby Haynes.
The Butthole Surfers guy?
Gabby mm-hmm. Haynes.
Yeah. It's just a song that rules. I don't know any of the words or anything, but it makes me, want to punch stuff.
This next song is the second song of four today that we're going to be going through that's not on Spotify because it's a Tool song.
First entry.
So we all have a Tool song.
You all have one Tool song.
But different songs.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one I absolutely would have picked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like how angry this song is. I like that it says fuck a lot of
anema?
Things. I think Enema.
Anima.
Anima.
96.
Three different pronunciations.
I just like how angry
it is. And the video. Come on.
Yeah.
They're fucking videos.
Fuck L. Ron Hubbard and fuck all his clones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Breaking Benjamin recorded this in 1997, apparently, if you want to hear it.
No interest in hearing Breaking Benjamin's recording.
Really?
Is that where you're playing it?
No, I got cut off. I switched.
Sorry. I thought you really wanted to.
What is Breaking Benjamin? They're like a early aughts.
The only reason I know who Breaking Benjamin is because they were the only non, like, actual band with a song in, like, a Halo soundtrack, because, like, they had, like, the entire score, and then there was one Breaking Benjamin song.
Sure.
And that's it.
Most of Joey's musical exposure has come through video games.
Yeah. Mostly rock bands.
Koji Kondo would dominate his list.
Also rock bands. All right, that's your 86.
86.
So here we go. Matt, it's up to you now.
What are we on?
You're on number 90.
Number 90. So this song I swapped out today. This is brand new today. Originally I had...
Another spoken word intro.
You can fast forward. Originally I had Running Free, and... You said earlier you thought that I was going to have a lot more metal than you, and I have very little metal on this list, actually. Because what I listened to through high school, I wasn't like, Pavement and Blur that I've already mentioned. It was fucking Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax, Iron Maiden, like Biohazard. Those are my five like core bands. And like as I was doing this list, it's like you said, it's like albums or like whole like chunks of shit. So I had Running Free on here just because I really dug it.
This is Iron Maiden Number of the Beast. I don't know if you said that. Did we say that?
Number of the Beast. And like
you should know it.
Yeah, because I was going to.
I don't
know
if they can hear it. That was the thing. I want to make sure.
This was also sort of like a represent. Maybe I have more token. Maybe I did some self hating the way I built this thing because I have a. This is another token song, to be quite honest with you. Like this stands in for Metallica and Anthrax.
Oh, okay.
I'm spoiling it, but like, I just feel like I've gotten fucking hammered and sung this song with like people before so many times, and I had such fun doing it that like this is the one for me, I guess. But I do prefer the first Iron Maiden singer. Like I like the punky first two Iron Maiden albums better overall.
Not Bruce Dickinson, the other guy.
I love Bruce Dickinson, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I prefer just like that. Oh, Rathchild! Like I like that. Like when they were kind of like more of a punk band.
Sure.
But anyway, all right.
There's a good acoustic version of that song on that Zwan did.
Anyway, I had the Zwan CD burned.
That CD is pretty good, actually.
It's not bad. This song is the one that, as I've been listening to this around the house a lot, my wife hates the most, and she's just like most surprised that this is my musical taste based
Sick
on what she knows about.
By Matthew Sweet.
Sick of Myself by Matthew Sweet. I fucking love this fucking song. I think this is the like just one of the best pure pop songs of the fucking 90s.
This is another Much Music, like
100% right? Much Music. Fountains of Wayne, Matthew Sweet, fucking Midnight Oil, all that shit. Like, but. I'm sick of myself when I look at you. Like, talk about a good sentiment for like a pop song. Like, what a great simple lyric. And like, and this shit is just fucking tight as shit and like poppy as hell. I love it. I fucking love it.
So now, before we get to the next one, I do want to say here. So the next band has 7 songs in your top 100. So this is the most popular.
Me? Between the three of us.
Between the three of you.
Yeah.
7 songs, no overlap.
Wow.
This 7 is, songs, no overlap.
This, 7 songs, no overlap.
The next band has the most songs.
No, can we guess at what it is?
Sure. That, I mean,
Matt
knows.
I know what it is now.
So there's another hint. Or not a hint, but another little fact. There's one artist that's more common on your lists,
but
because of shared songs, has fewer songs. So this is songs.
I'm going to guess it's Guns N' Roses.
It's not. They're high up there.
Okay. Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper.
Whoa! That's a terrible guess.
Beastie Boys.
Great guess. That's a fucking great guess, and it could be.
But no.
It's not Play. It's fucking Radiohead.
No, God damn it. That seems like
7 songs.
But I would bet that I have way fewer Radiohead songs. Oh, wait, no, you have your restrictions.
Man's only. I only have 3.
I think
2 or 3.
Two or 3. I think 2.
Oh, just 2. Oh,
okay.
Maybe I only have 2. And, like, again. Very hard to say like which song, but
yeah,
for me I just fucking love this song.
Yeah,
I mean as my
this is the first song off of Ben's, right?
Ben's, yeah.
As Radiohead is like, my favorite band, I like that there was such division. I guess that you all love Radiohead, but it all showed in different ways.
Yeah, I just like it all so much, and like I just really like this one. There's like Kid A is my Head and Shoulders, my Radiohead album that I like, and like the rest of it can all just go to hell as far as I'm concerned. Like, not as far as I'm concerned, but like, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
But, like, I also really dig the Bends.
Do you find yourself, or do any of you find yourselves, like, skewing toward opening tracks at all? Because, like, because when you put a CD on, it's
Mission
the first one you hear, and then by the, you know, by the end of the car ride, you haven't listened to the last 3 songs.
But also, like, if a song is an album opener, generally, like, I just like a song that's starts strong.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's certainly a place for songs that like take a while to get going. I love plenty of them, but like there's something about just something that just gets to the fucking point right away.
Yeah.
And like it's a grabber.
There were definitely sequencing. There was like a sequencing trend, especially in the 90s, where like you started out with your first 2 singles were your first 2 songs.
Triumphant opener.
Right. Then you had like your little weird kind of diversion. Track 6 was always like the ballad, you know. I'm with you guys on that one.
All right, number 87, Yola Tango's Autumn Sweater from 1997.
A band that I'm ashamed how little I know about.
Well, they love the Mets.
Yeah, and I'm
Hoboken, New
that.
Jersey's finest.
Yeah, these are all reasons why I feel like I should. So, what about this song specifically?
This song, if this song was playing in public 24 hours a day every day of the year, like I'd be fine with that. Like it's just cool enough to walk around down the street to, or drive to, or shop to, or whatever. Like it just puts me in a very relaxed state of mind without being like, right, it's gonna sound like stoned out to talk, but like, like it's cosmic in a very like earthy way. It's like the woods.
Bob is just blinking.
We're just gonna let Matt keep going with it.
It's like the woods, right? It's like, I don't know.
I don't see when he gets to
like. Yeah, obviously, because it's like that's also the dumb part of my brain being like, yeah, autumn is when the leaves fall, so you should think about trees and leaves falling. But like, fuck yeah, that's what I'm thinking about, and like, it's a good. It puts me there. I love it.
And then you're number 86, the last of this batch, Super Drag, Sucked Out.
Oh yeah. This fucking song. Yeah. I feel like there's 100 songs from the '90s that are like.
Yep.
Sound like this are the one blast through hit for some band like this, but this song is fucking, it's really like the lyrics are great, it's fucking tight, the fucking like splat splat splat, it's a tight fucking it's a jam.
I am mostly unfamiliar with this song.
Really?
Wow. It's just something that got past me.
Pump it up real quick. You know this part. You know.
I'm a cool guy. I know the song. Guys, I know the song.
My sophomore year of college, I went through a big power pop phase where it was all Super Drag and Matthew Sweet, and I love it.
Bouncer Wayne. Yep. I love that shit.
All right. Number 85.
Better than pop punk.
Next batch.
I'm back up again.
Aphex Twin, Flim.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This is just a really, it's a really pretty song, and I love the juxtaposition of like the really fast, glitchy, jittery drum beat and that twinkly piano melody. It's a great song to drive to. It's a great song to relax to.
1997.
This is an oh fuck one because I thought of two things. One of them that I remembered and fixed on my list, and the other one I'm only remembering right now because I was driving and I was like. Oh yeah, you need an Aphex Twin on there. And then I went to think about it, I was like, I thought of something, and it never came back to me, and that was fucking it.
Yeah. It's just a really pretty song.
I like that he's super good at making really pretty things, and then also super ugly, scary things.
Yeah.
He can do both.
Yeah.
Get you a man who can do both.
Next up, from 98, Sunny Day Real Estate, Every Shining Time You Arrive.
This is my emo side coming out again. I mean, so Sunny Day Real Estate is a kind of foundational band in that genre, that world. Did you know that two of the members of the original Foo Fighters, after Dave Grohl recruited a band, came from Sunny Day Real Estate?
I didn't know that. Which ones were they? Was one of them
like the redheaded guy?
The Lance Morissette drummer?
No, he came later. It was it was the bass player who's still in the band today, and I think either the drummer...
Double pudgy toe-headed guys.
Yeah. Either the original drummer or the original... third guitar player came from Sunny Day. They have a weird quality. He's just got like a voice. I have no other way to describe it. It's just a voice. Like, it's a very unique voice. It's very Jeremy Enig, however you pronounce it. I just think it's a majestic kind of song.
It's a man's track, 100%.
Yeah.
The next song is from the first from a band that we've talked about before, from 94. Pavement's Range Life.
Yeah. Pavement is a band that I did. We've done reverse 180s on. When we went to college, Bob and I lived together in college. I loved Pavement, and he fucking hated them. And now I'm kind of like, I don't really know if Pavement was actually that good. There are still like maybe 10 or 15 songs of theirs that I think are incredible, and the rest I'm like, all right, whatever.
Well, there's gonna be 5 of them on this list.
And you've turned around on Pavement. You are now a fan.
Yeah, I mostly the guitar stuff.
Stairs.
Yeah, I like that it's like I don't know, like kind of sloppy-ish but like fun.
Yeah.
And I like that he. I'm at a time when I need people to be not serious with their stuff.
Yeah.
So he's the rare funny lyricist.
Yes. Yeah. So this is, you know, this speaks to like that I think we were talking about in the context of Silver Jews, where like you could just chill out to it. You know, you could just kind of lay back on a summer day and chill out to this song. I could have put Shady Lane. I could have put Gold Sounds. Conduit for Sale. This is the only Pavement song on my list. End Carrot Rope, I really like.
That means the rest of them are on Matt's list, because there's not a Pavement song on my list. Matt has 6 Pavement songs on his list.
I don't think so.
It might be 4.
Okay.
There are 5 total Pavement songs.
Oh, okay.
He also takes a shot at Smashing Pumpkins and Stone Temple Pilots on the song, which I don't agree with because I love both those bands, but...
None of which you named just now.
All right.
They're ballsy.
Next, from 1997, Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space by Spiritualized.
Really? Did you not have a Spiritualize song on here?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't.
Yeah.
You're a big Spiritualize guy, I thought.
I might.
Wow.
Do I not... Did I not make it?
I thought that would have been one of the bands that we overlapped.
It certainly should have been.
You like Spiritualize a lot more than
yes,
I do.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I like Spiritualize. This song is just fucking beautiful.
I like Cop Shoot Cop.
That's the very next song, right?
It's like 17 minutes long.
Yeah, it's the second song on the album. We saw Spiritualize a few years ago, and he played this song, and I was very happy. It's a gorgeous song.
Yeah, I love Spiritualize. They're beautiful.
Wait, can you skip ahead? Sure, yeah. Like, let's hear it.
Yeah. The next song.
This is a beautiful song.
Yeah, it's just a wall of sound.
The next song is probably one of the most famous songs of all time. Also, maybe not. That's
smells like Teen Spirit.
No, nope. But it was also...
I hope that song is not heard tonight.
Made famous... I don't mind. It's also made famous a little bit sort of by Always Sunny, which we talked about before. The gang goes on welfare, where Dee starts smoking crack, sitting on a porch stoop, singing Just a Friend of Fizz Marquee.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say about this song. It's one of those songs, again, where it comes on at a bar and everybody sings along to it. He kind of has that ODB thing where he's got such a raggedy, weird voice. There's nobody else that kind of sounds like him, so.
There we go. All right, Bob, you're up. Number 85, Bob.
Number 85. We are on
I feel like we're moving along at a good pace. Is that right? Does it feel like that?
It's been, what, right. 4 or 5 hours?
So here, the first, we mentioned this band earlier, Oasis, Acquiesce, number 85.
Acquiesce. This is the B-side. It ended up on the master plan.
You hipster.
I think this speaks... The reason why I like this song so much, it speaks to the same thing as what I was talking about before with Matt's Tender. There's an interplay between Damon and Graham on that song. In this song, right, Noel and Liam Gallagher are brothers who have had their public things in the past.
Who don't like each other.
But the chorus is them saying, but we need each other, we believe in one another... And I find that very, very moving for two people who have publicly feuded so much and who, frankly, have not been successful without each other, from being one of the most popular bands in the world to being, you know, they do need each other. So there's a beautiful sentiment there. Plus, like, you know, sometimes I get choked up about brother shit.
Next song from the band... We move on? Sorry.
Jesus!
I get choked.
No.
I did not want to talk any more about that.
His body language changed. You got to read the signals, guys. Next song from a band we talked a lot about already.
Yeah.
The World of the Outside World.
Yeah.
This is my favorite Soundgarden song.
Wow. This is on the one
Down on the Upside.
Yeah.
Down on the Upside.
What do you think of that album?
I like it.
Oh, yeah. It's a good album. It's underrated.
Yeah. I don't know that I ever really committed the time with Soundgarden that I did to other bands from the era, which might be why I underrate them from what you guys are talking about. I haven't spent as much time with either of those big albums. Down on the Upside and Superunknown are the two huge ones.
Yeah,
right?
The last two.
Yeah.
Down on the Upside has their more, their biggest departures from what their sound traditionally is thought of as.
I spent a lot of time with... I don't know if it's Louder Than Love, but it's got, like, Little Joe is a song on it. It's with, I really liked that when I was in high school, but I haven't listened to that since then. It's, like, way more metal-y than this stuff. Yeah, that's all I have to say about Soundgarden. This song.
Cool.
But, yeah, Chris Cornell is definitely the best singer
of that
era, right?
Like, for sure.
No question.
Oh, is he better than Kurt Cobain?
Yes. As far as technical...
But they didn't do the same thing.
Right,
yeah, right.
As far as technical singing goes, Chris Cornell.
Yeah, but Bruce, you know, it's a Bruce Dickinson effect. Maybe, no, not the same. He didn't do as much operatic bullshit. But
this song rules, though.
He could be totally the best singer.
Okay, next we have Say Yes by Elliott Smith, which is the first Elliott Smith song. I don't know if he'll show up on anybody else's.
But he might be back on Bob's later.
Might be back on mine later.
Gotta be on yours, right?
I don't know if he was a contender. I don't think he made the cut. But
I was in the bathroom when Tom told me that Elliott Smith died.
Yeah, we were living together in college.
In dorms. Yeah, it was very, very sad.
Yeah.
I saw Elliott Smith in his second to last show ever.
Were you devastated when he died?
Yeah, we're pretty devastated.
Did anybody at this table watch Californication?
No.
There was an episode of that show where it was David Duchovny and his wife on the show basically reacting in 94 to Cobain killing himself. Like, there was like this whole like flashback episode where they like sort of like, you know, when Kennedy was shot or whatever, this whole like, where were you? So, like, you mean, are you...
Do you remember that one episode? It was a season... You watched Californication too?
Yeah, I saw it. I haven't seen every episode.
There was that one episode where the guy he was writing the book about or with,
yeah,
or whatever,
dies.
He died. And then in that last episode, he fucking... Warren Zevon.
Whiskey, Weed, and Warren Zevon.
That's right, yeah, yeah. He finishes writing it, and he's listening to Esperanto's...
Here's a picture of me as Elliot Smith for Halloween... Me stabbing myself in the heart.
Tasteless, Joey. Oh, that's tasteless.
It was college. It was a different time. It was an easy costume, cheap costume.
Here's some trivia for that. Elliot Smith's girlfriend at the time is...
She killed him, right?
I don't think so. She is the... She was Rivers Cuomo's girlfriend during the Blue album. She is the Japanese girl from Buddy Holly.
Yeah. Mm. And from El Scorcho?
Maybe. Yeah,
and from every other Weezer song.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think there have been a lot of Japanese girls in Rivers Cuomo's life.
That fucking guy.
Next song, The Hole of the Moon by the Waterboys, 1985.
You guys know this one? The Hole of the Moon by the Waterboys?
No.
Okay. I think it's a song that is about Prince. It's sort of big.
Pump it up a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of... There's some bombast to it. I don't know, like Elton John. I don't know any other songs by them. I heard this song on WFMU, and I did that thing in the car where you type the lyrics into your...
Yeah, uh-huh.
So that you can remember it later.
Yep.
And then I listened to it like 40 times in a row when I got home. It's great. I've never bothered to listen to the rest of the album, but this one song I've listened to 1,000 times. I think it's great.
That's how I feel about Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Yeah.
There's one song of theirs that I heard in the car, and I was just like, oh, yeah, that's great. And that's enough of that.
That's enough. So next is...
The next song we didn't even introduce, or say the year, because the year is in the title.
1990.
Oh.
Freedom.
Freedom.
George Michael. Freedom 90. Wow.
By George Michael.
1990.
Hopefully not the only song that has George Michael on it on the list.
Number 81.
Maybe it will be.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I think
Which
George,
is a shame.
George Michael is a great pop artist. He is, I don't know what happened to Andrew Ridgely, the least talented member of...
Well, the other guy.
The other guy of Wham. But yeah, George Michael was, you know, he's a wrote pop masterpieces.
You know, being here on the Cage Club Podcast Network, we did the whole Keanu Club podcast, and one of the funniest scenes in recent movies, I think, is when Keegan-Michael Key, in Keanu, is trying to describe about how Father Figure is like a ghetto gangster song.
That's right,
how
yeah.
it's about, you know, like, why these, like, you know, gangbangers should respect George Michael and why it has, like, this ultimate thug gangster song.
Yeah.
It's great.
And he's, like, you know, obviously, like, overshadowed by, like, Michael Jackson and all of those other, and Prince and, like, other great pop stars from the era.
Is he the gay icon of the 80s? Not necessarily, like, icon for the gay America. Like, I mean, that might be Madonna or somebody who will come up later. But in terms of, like, actual gay artists,
Freddie Mercury, maybe? But Freddie Mercury was bisexual.
In the 80s?
Yeah, and he died of AIDS.
And he died of AIDS.
Like, it's hard... And was Freddie Mercury out the whole time?
No.
He was popular?
No, not
I feel like
not.
He kind of got to be
Michael
like...
out?
He seemed a little more like, wink.
Well, now the back.
Like, I feel like you could run into a guy who'd be like, Freddie Mercury gay? Get the fuck out of here, bro. No way. That rocks.
I think that's probably true of, like, every gay artist. That there's
yeah, but not George. But I'm saying not... No one would be like, George Michael? No way is that guy gay.
I bet there's people who said that, though.
Boy George might be also a gay icon from the 80s. But probably, maybe George Michael.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about Freedom 90?
No, great music video, though.
All right.
I wouldn't mind stopping weighing in on things I have no idea what you're talking about.
Matt, this next song, your number 85, is one of my favorite songs. Definitely be in my top 100.
Wait, I'm up? Me?
Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bengals.
Yeah, this song
that was almost on it.
Kicks dicks off. See. And like gets a lift in no small part due to what I think is the funniest television show of the new century by like a mile.
Yep.
Fucking Eastbound and Down.
Yep.
That show uses music
is to make jokes more than more and better than any other show ever.
Great.
Is this
like
Jason Sudeikis dies?
Yes.
He's just like, oh man, I love this song. He's like, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Pull us up a couple monster rails, and then we're gonna fucking forget about that asshole or whatever. And so he's like going through his iPad, and he's just like, "Oh man, I fucking love this song." He's like, "Oh yeah, I went pretty crazy on LimeWire a couple summers ago." just fucking like, oh yeah. But like also this song, the reason that this song works so well in that scene is the song has like such a sinister like sound. Like it's a fucking rockin' like dancing song, but when you like. Just like
is Susanna Hoffs? Is
yeah,
that her name? I remember the
her
video.
Her voice
like,
is amazing. Like, yeah, she's just like she's so cool, but just the tone of this, you get like, oh, you get that like foreboding vibe, and like, oh yeah, it's the funniest fucking shit ever. That scene.
This is a song that I totally forgot about, and I'm kicking myself.
And the way that I made a breakthrough when we all got together and decided to do these lists, I drove up to a Yankee game like at the end of the year to meet up my brother, and Glenn gave me tickets. Met him there with Ian, actually, shout out, set tub, and like, I was driving up the turnpike at like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, I had no kids, I was like, I had free day to go up and watch a Yankee game, and there's nobody on the fucking turnpike, I'm doing like 95 miles an hour, and I'm working, listening through like the first, like, songs that I put together for this list, and it was like, at that point, like, this song and a couple other ones came on, and it was just loud as shit, I was driving fast as hell, and I was just like, I had like, the time of my life blaring up the road, and this song specifically, I was just like, fuck.
It's the car test.
Rocks.
It's the car test. Yeah. You can really judge a song by that.
It's also like the car, like, bias. Like, if you have a moment in the car, you're just like, oh, that song's amazing. And you're like, yeah.
You're saying the car test, as a listener or as, like, an artist? Because the only reason I heard of that is, like, and I think in the movie Once, which I'm assuming it's also in the musical Once, they record that song, and then they go out to the car, because, like, this sounds great on the studio speakers. Like, how does it sound in the car? If it sounds good in the car, then you know it's, like, an actual...
But, like, also, like, it's more about, like, driving the car.
And especially, like, if you're alone. There's something about being alone.
Yeah. Like, having that thing, like, painfully loud that anyone else in the car would be annoyed how loud it was.
Not in traffic, can't be in traffic. Right. You gotta going. Really be, uh-huh. yeah.
Yeah. I don't get that opportunity to do that. I don't commute anymore, so,
right,
like...
Right, I do right. nothing but commute, so...
Yeah. So here's another song in the same vein of, like, of Jesus Lizard, only just, like, more intense.
Kerosene by Big Black, 1986.
Oh, shit.
I've never heard of this song.
Pump this up just for a minute, because, like, the drum machine and the fucking... Like, that shit just fucking kicked my ass off the
now,
first time I
Big
heard it.
Big Black is Steve Albini's band, right?
Yeah, oh. And he produced Jesus Lizard, so it's like, his thing is just guitars that sound like a fucking saw cutting your fucking head in half.
He also produced Nevermind and In Utero, right?
Just In Utero.
Just In Utero.
And then they fucked around with his mix because they were like, oh, this isn't radio friendly. And then like 4 or so years ago, they released the Albini mix of that whole album.
And if I'm right, this is from an album called Songs About Fucking.
Songs About Fucking, yeah. With a great cover. Yeah. This shit's great.
Okay.
And like, I like songs about
fucking.
So I like songs about shitting. But I like songs about, like, people just, like how he says, like, found to be born in this town, probably find to die in this town. Like, I just like songs that are critical of people who don't... I like songs that are critical of the idea of not doing something with yourself. Like, I feel like music's a good, like, forum to just be, like, venting your frustration about shit.
Yeah.
And, like, this dude is the most fucking frustrated motherfucker going. And, like, this is the sound of that so much. That's why I love it.
This next song...
Keeps the energy up.
Only Matt has on his list this artist.
Really?
Twice.
Wait, I'm the only one who has this artist?
Beastie Boys, So What You Want.
No one else has any Beastie Boys?
I almost put this song and a couple
You guys have no Beastie Boys on your list?
Yeah.
Holy shit, are you serious? I only have two?
I only have two because I
figured there would be like 10.
But the other one is very high.
I agree that this is insane. And
what the fuck? Yeah.
And I had, Looking Down the Barrel of the Gun was on it. What You Want is on it. Was on it. I had a lot of songs that
Sure Shot,
cut.
Root Down, fucking...
Yeah, Root Down was...
They were in my,
I thought,
like,
Intergalactic was like your favorite fucking song of all time or some shit.
No, I like that song a lot. I like that song a lot.
You said you wanted to walk down the aisle.
You said that song saved your life.
All those songs were in my final, like, 125.
Oh, man.
That by far to me so far is the shocking moment.
And I agree that that's shocking.
That's crazy. Holy shit.
So I did not develop my affinity toward the Beastie Boys from a video game, but they were on Futurama as Heads in Jars, and I was like, this band is cool.
I mean,
here I am.
No, they rule, and they're one of the most influential.
I think I think they have an argument of being in the band of the 90s.
I think that's fair. I agree. There's an argument in there.
Like, talk about sad celebrity deaths. When MCA died, I was like, Ed Rock. When Ed Rock died, I was like,
no, MCA.
No,
I
thought
it was MCA. Yeah,
I remember. Yeah. You know,
we're diminishing the sadness of the story right now.
Yeah.
Whoever was the guy, it was very sad.
Yeah, like, well, you know, when Dwayne Johnson was in the movie, like, no, it's like, yeah, all right, when Adam Young died,
but he's MCA.
I guess, yeah, but I guess you're right, because that's what made, like, that's what was sad about it, was like, that dude, beyond just being a musician, he was one of those guys who just went out of his way, and every time he had the public, like, ear to just be like, hey, like, peace, guys, like, yo, be peaceful to each other, like, calm fuck down, no war, be peaceful, like, and then the fact that he went out, like, and it's also super sad that, like, the Beastie Boys were so great, and it was three guys, so, like, when one of the, like, even though the majority of them are still around, like, you can't.
No,
it's done. It's done.
We wouldn't need all three guys. We were talking before about celebrities who died that made us sad. We were talking about Harris Whittles. The only one that I was thinking about was MCA, because I remember I was on my road trip across
really
country.
Bummed out about
I was
that.
In a national park in Utah, and it ruined the entire day. I was just like, fuck.
Worth mentioning now that Harris Whittles was a writer on Eastbound and Down.
So there's something. Have you seen that show?
Yeah.
I mean, do you agree? Are you...
That it's funny? Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I had tickets.
As a John Rocker fan from way back.
John Rocker
fan. I had tickets to see... In hindsight, this is an incredible show. The Beastie Boys, Rage Against the Machine, and At the Drive-In.
Me too. And if he fucking broke his collarbone.
Yeah. And never got to see him.
One of the guys in the Beastie Boys fell off his bike and broke his collarbone.
And the whole show was canceled?
And then At the Drive-In and Rage Against the Machine broke up.
Yep.
Right after that.
Yep.
So it's the Beastie Boys to blame.
It's probably MCA. It's probably his peaceful vibe not being around.
So that was before we knew each other, though, right? That must have been like 2001.
Yep.
This next song is one of only two songs from this band, which I expected a lot
more. Again,
you only have one, and there's only one other one in this entire list. Wu-Tang Clan.
Because this could be the album of the 90s for me.
Sure.
Just in general, like it's hard to pick a song from this, just because I don't really think of the individual songs. I was just like, I'm fucking great. So I just like this one because I like the production on this.
There were a lot of Wu-Tang individual members that had songs on my list too. That slowly got whittled.
I whittled ODB off.
Favorite Wu-Tang member.
So like, I saw them in Sayreville, which is where I thought we were coming today. Joey does lives nowhere near Sayreville, as
I'm
it turns out.
I'm an hour from Sayreville.
Maybe in like 2010, and like ODB's kid was there. But the thing about it was, fucking Method Man just made it his responsibility to make sure that everyone in that fucking place had a good show.
Yeah.
And he just threw the whole stage on his back, and he just fucking like he worked the crowd basically by himself, and everyone else kind of went through the motions. So flow wise, like I like him a lot too. So like, just from that experience, he fucking won me over as one of the best entertainers I ever saw in my life then and there. So he's my guy.
Bob?
But I love ODB, too.
I think Method Man's the best rapper. I think a Wu-Tang Clan doesn't exist without RZA.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's like the, you know, I think he's the backbone of the whole thing.
Sure. My answer is purely based on, like, post-Wu-Tang work. Ghostface.
Ghost guy.
I love Ghostface.
His flow is like the most interesting.
Yeah.
I have a non-story, but a couple years ago at Fantastic Fest, which is a film festival in Austin, RZA was supposed to be there. He was supposed to do a live score for the 36 Chambers of Shaolin, which is a great movie. He's going to perform it at the festival, and he's also going to go downtown and do it like for the public. And he canceled the festival appearance, and I was like, God damn it! And then the next day, I went to Austin City Limits, and he was at like he has Banks and Steel, which is like Paul Banks from Banks and Steels or whatever. Paul Banks from Interpol. And he had like a band that they just do like it's RZA rapping over Interpol basically. Like it's this weird. I mean, it's not that, but that's what it sounds like. It's
I don't like Interpol.
Me neither.
I love that one album a lot.
Yeah,
Turn on the Bright Lights is great.
They have a few songs I like.
They annoy me.
Ian Curtis called. He wants all of his talent back.
The last song of this episode, yeah. Probably. We had Freedom 90, now we have Freedom of 76
baby.
By Ween.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So, like...
Fuck yeah.
So, Ween is by far my favorite band of all time. It was my song with my wife. It's our wedding song. Not this song. This Day Forever was. And, like, I was like, you know, I gotta... Like, in one sense of looking at this list, I could have just made it... It would have just been making a Ween list, which then I just did. I got out of my system. And I ranked every Ween song by album.
Holy shit.
I made a whole spreadsheet. I'll share it with you if you'd like. And yes, then I'm working on the B-sides now, too. Like, they're just... So, like, I just needed to stick one on here. And one of my other guiding philosophies of putting this list together was I wanted to be able to put it on, like, at a party and just let it play. And, like, not have anything that flowed fucked up or had any stupid songs that would, like... take someone out of the moment.
Like Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Well, I think... You know what's fucked up? I think I had that like in my top 20, and I think I took it completely off... Hold on. Wait a minute. Did I?
We have Nine Inch Nails coming up later.
Yeah,
no.
I know, but...
No,
Matt, yeah, I did. I took it straight up off. It was literally in my top 15. And I was just like... Because I was listening to it around the house, and like, I got my kids running around while I'm making dinner, and I don't want to have to like... reach for my phone and be like, oh, no, don't listen to this part! Like, switch it earlier. Like, I want to love you from the... I sing Violet songs a lot. I'm getting into this for 1 minute. I sing Violet songs a lot to go to sleep at night sometimes, and a lot of it's Warren Zevon, and so much of his shit is, like, about being, like, just, like, being, like, a loser and like, sucking at life. And I'm just like, it's not like it's bad language for you to hear, but, like, right. As you're drifting to sleep, I don't need to be giving you subliminal messages about, like, how much of a sleazebag, like, you are. So, like, I changed the lyrics into, like, and then I stood up, and, like, and I loved the, you know, so, like, I don't like having to do that with, I want to fuck you like an animal while my fucking 2-year-old is trying to, like, reach for the stove. So yeah, they went straight off the list. But how the fuck did we even get to there?
Don't let that 2-year-old touch the stove, man.
Yeah, that's probably parenting advice number one.
But yeah, so this is also, again, you could consider a token song, but I figured this song of the Ween cycle from this period, which I could go on and on about like albums versus sub-groups, but this, you know, you could put this on at a party and people would jive to it.
Yeah.
Even though, and it's weird enough with the lyrics and the... falsetto and all that shit. I'm very excited to go see them fucking at the new venue in Philly.
Yeah,
are you coming down?
I gotta figure out if I can. Is it sold out, do you think?
I don't know. Like, we acted like it was, and then, like, tickets were just all kind of available.
Okay. I'll look at it.
Isn't there only one kind of available?
Ween is also...
No, but me and my wife were on the phone together at work, just like, all right, when they become available at 10, like, you're gonna try to get in, I'm gonna try to get in, and blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, I got him. And then, like, we looked a few days later and said, yeah, they're just, you can get them.
Yeah.
You know, you need to do that.
People, there aren't thousands of people your efforts. Sitting, right.
Yeah. But it's weird because the new venue is it's a new spot on Broad Street, and it's called the Met, and it's supposed to be like an opera house. So I'm assuming it has seats.
Yeah, probably.
I hate going to fucking concerts in the seat, especially like a Ween show.
Yeah, it depends on the show.
So it'll be interesting to see what the, like, what the vibe is there.
So that's our top 20. Or bottom 20. Bottom 20.
Bottom 20. Wow. We're
one-fifth of the way through.
One-fifth of the way through.
I like it, guys. No.
So it's going to be about 7 hours, all told.
Strap in. We'll be back sometime in the next episode for more of the top 100 songs, 1980 to 1999.
Taking your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?